Stand to your feet with me all across the room. I'd like for you to turn your attention today in the Word of God to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 7 and verse 8. I want to read from the New Living Translation this morning. Then Moses called for Joshua. And as all Israel watched, he said to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally," I like that, "for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." I want to read those last two statements again, or three. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I want to share with you this morning on this thought, as directed by the Lord, and it is this: God is in control. Father, we thank you for this moment in time that we have once again to share in the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, for this moment that we have to hear and receive from your voice. And I pray today, God, that you will reach down in a very unique way in this service. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bring peace into the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray that you'll bring joy back to the heart. God, that you will lift up, Lord, in a way that only you can do that. And I pray that this word today will speak into us in such a way that it will cause us to turn our focus back to you once again and understand and know that no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what we think we understand, God, that you are still ultimately in control. And Lord, that you have all of us in the palm of your hand, and that we are still your people, and that you are our God. And for that, we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God is in control. I want you to think on that statement this morning throughout the entirety of this message, and there will be several occasions where I will remind you of that fact and that statement this morning. But sometimes it seems like we're on a runaway roller coaster ride. Am I correct? Sometimes in life we feel like things get out of control and we're on that roller coaster and we have no control over what's happening or what's going on in our life. In times like these, we need to be reminded that when we get out of control and things get out of control and things never seem like they will ever come in place again, we have to remember that God is in control. That God is ultimately in control of every situation. I want to start this morning by prophesying to somebody in this room: God is in control. I told you I may share those words several times throughout this word today, but I want you to get it very clearly. It does not matter what is happening right now in our economy. It does not matter what is happening right now on the political scene, and we know that the political scene is very rough right now. It does not matter who is in the White House. Amen. 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 It does not matter what they do to Social Security. It doesn't matter what they do to health care. It doesn't matter about anything else. God is in control. Amen. It is not the government. It is not the president or anybody else that is in control. I want to make it very clear. God is in control. Amen. As a child of God, you have to understand one thing. God is your source. When you come to the realization and you come to the understanding that God is your source, you don't worry about anything else. You don't get you don't get fixed on anything else. You understand that no matter what it looks like, sounds like, feels like, or seems like, that God is working in your favor. He is your source. And I want to tell you something else. As long as God is your source, remember this. Heaven never has a shortage, and it never has to have a bail. Out. Heaven never runs out of resources. Heaven never runs out of supply. Moses, the deliverer of God's people, you remember we mentioned him in the scripture a moment ago. He was designed by God to be the deliverer of his people. He was designed to bring them out of the Egyptian bondage. But from his very birth, the enemy had set his sights on Moses to destroy him, to bring destruction to his life. But that which the enemy had marked for destruction, God had marked for life. And I want to say this about you this morning. What the enemy had marked for destruction in your life, God sent me by to tell you that God has marked you for life. Even though the enemy may try to seek to destroy and to tear you down, can I tell you that God has put his hand up under you to lift you up and to give you life and to give you peace and to give you power and to give you strength. Amen. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. You know the story. How that Pharaoh's daughter found him and she brought him into Pharaoh's house, and he grew up in Pharaoh's house. He had the best of everything in the land. And the amazing thing about it, the enemy paid the bill. Here's a man of God that God is raising up. He has the best of everything, and the enemy's paying the bill to put the man of God in the place he needs to be, and the enemy doesn't even realize it. God had it all under control. God used Moses to bring his people out, as we stated earlier. But I want you to notice in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Now, I know that's a little different translation there, but I like that part. They left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Pharaoh released them, and they were being led out of captivity. And as they left, they were leaving as an army. There are many times in your life and many times in our lives as individuals, from the natural perspective, there's easier and faster ways to get things done. Amen. We find situations in our life where some things we can do easier, some things we can do faster. But I want you to hear this. But God has a better viewpoint. Sometimes God leads us around the long way. Sometimes God leads us around a way that we don't understand why. Because God sees things from a different viewpoint than we see them. Plus, God has a higher purpose for you going the way you go. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God so many times led us straight to the place of deliverance in our life and we never had to face adversity, we never had to face problems, we never had to deal with difficulties. We could just go from the place of the problem straight to victory and everything's wonderful. But how many times does God lead us in a roundabout way, and he takes us through certain avenues and certain places, but we have to understand our goal is to just make it through it. If I can just get through it, if I can just go through it. But God's intention is for you to grow in the process. We just want to get through it. We want to get it done. We want to get it over. But God is allowing you to grow as he takes you through certain places in your life. The hardships that we walk through help us grow in the Lord and become stronger in our relationship, but also help us to become bolder to stand against the enemy. Here are the children of God. From all visible evidence, they're trapped. From all visible evidence, there's no way out. There's no way back. There's no way forward. And they're in a place that they never wanted to be. They can't go forward. They can't go backward. There's nowhere left to turn. But I want you to listen to this, if you would. The thing we have to fight is agreeing with the enemy. Some of them began to complain and said, Moses, you let us out here that we might die here. It would have been better if we'd have stayed back in Egypt and we'd have kept serving there. Those that had that thought in their mind, they came into agreements with the enemy. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what kind of wall you're up against. It doesn't matter if there's no way out in your life, it seems. It doesn't matter if there's nowhere left to turn the way you're looking at it. Let me say this to you. We must never agree with the devil. We must never agree with the enemy. We must never back up on the promise of God. We must stand bold and we must stand firm on what God's word has said and what God has declared and what God has given us. We must fight the idea of agreeing with the enemy. And I want to just tell you something. There's too many people agreeing with the devil today. Too many people, the enemy tells you you're no good, and you tell yourself, well, I ain't no good. Too many people, the devil says you're never going to make it, and you say to yourself, well, I'm never going to make it. Too many people, the devil tells you certain things in your life, and you just come into agreement of what he said to you and what he said about you. But let me say this to you. Don't ever agree with what the enemy says. Why? God has us in his control. God has us in the palm of his hand. God has us where he wants us to be. And God is taking us into greater places. You see, the devil knows the power of words. I want everybody to hear this. He knows the power of words. And he wants you to line up your confession with your circumstances. He wants you to line up your confession with what's going on around you and what you're seeing and what you're feeling. He wants you to line up with the circumstances of your life. But God wants you to line up your confession with what his word has to say about the matter. God wants you to line up what you say according to the word of God. It doesn't matter what the world's saying, what people are saying, what's going on around you. And when you if you watch the news right now, like I said earlier, there's so much confusion. There's so much stuff that we're hearing that's being said, but let me just stop and say it again. Do not come into agreement with what the devil is saying, because God is still working and it's not over yet. God is still moving and it's not over yet. Oh, I feel him in this room. Fear says it's over and there's no way out. But faith says, I do not know what God is going to do. I do not know how God is going to do it. But I know that God is under control. God, faith says, I don't know exactly how God is going to make things come out in my life. But I know with God, it's going to come out and it will be okay. I want to encourage some people in this room of late. The enemy's been trying to tell you it's all over and you're confused and you don't know what to do. Remember this. Know that God is still working in your favor. So don't you give up. Don't you back away. Don't you cow down. Don't you give in to the devices of the enemy. You stand bold in the word of God. You stand bold in your faith. And you declare, thus saith the word of God. Exodus 14, verse 4. Most of these are New Living Translation. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. Now, you know it had to sound strange to them. You know it had to sound weird to them when he says that they're going to chase after you, but just stay where you are. But when you go down to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, it says this. But Moses told the people, and I want to say this to everybody in this room, wherever you are in life, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, listen to me. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you now. The Egyptians that you're looking at now will never be seen again. The New King James Version says, the Egyptian whom you see today, you shall never see again, no more forever. Then Exodus 14 and 3, Good News Translation, I like this. You will never see these Egyptians again. So let me just say this to somebody in this room. Stand still where you are and watch God work in your life and watch God rescue you and hear the Lord declaring, you will never see these enemies again. Now, that doesn't mean there's certain things in your life that may not reoccur over and over again, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want somebody to understand there's some things in your life you don't ever have to face again. There's some enemies in your life you don't ever have to face again. And I want to talk to somebody right here. There's an enemy in your life now. There's a battle that's going on in you now, and it seems like you got it under control, but every time you turn around, it keeps coming back. You feel like you got it under control, but when you turn around, you're facing it all over again. You pray, and you feel like you got victory, but just when you start to find victory, you look around, and it starts all over again. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been in that place? Anybody ever been in that place? You'd probably be surprised at how many people sitting in this room right now are walking in that very place right now in their life. You pray for victory, you pray for deliverance, you pray for certain things to work out in your life, and every time you turn around, you think you're doing good, you think you're doing better, you think victory's happening in your life, you turn around and all of a sudden you're facing it all over again. You're dealing with it all over again. But notice what God said. He said, you'll never see these Egyptians again. You've done everything you know to do. You're exhausted. You're at the point of giving up. You've tried everything that you know to try. What is the use, you say? It is hopeless, you say. You say, I cannot do it. But I want you to hear me. When you get to that place in your life, you may feel like you've lost all faith. You may feel like you've lost all hope. And let's go back to that word faith again. You may feel like your faith is at the lowest ebb. But I want you to listen to me right here. You have finally come into a position for a miracle. Somebody said, wait a minute, Pastor. When I get the place that I feel it's hopeless, when I get the place I feel like there's no use anymore, when I get the place that I say I just can't do it anymore, how can you say, Pastor, that I'm in position for a miracle, for God Almighty to do what you could never do? He's just waiting on you to recognize your weakness, that you might recognize his strength in your life. God cannot do what you need him to do until you recognize his strength and you recognize your weakness and you put him in first place in the situation in your life. Amen. Oh, I feel him in this room. I feel the strength of God in this house. Now I know why God led me this way, Robert. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody hear me today. You will never know his strength until you recognize your weakness. You will never realize the strength of God until you recognize your own weakness. As long as we think we got it figured out, Sarah will never realize the victory of God. As long as we think we got it under control, as long as we think we can handle it, then we think we got the strength. Greg, we feel like we're strong enough. But when you realize your weakness and you understand you don't have all that it takes, you understand that you don't have all the answer, but then you understand that God is the answer and you understand the strength he can bring into your life, then true victory will come forward in you. Amen. The Lord told the Apostle Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I like that first part. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I can bring you out of where you are. I got this. And then he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. What does he say? My strength is made perfect when you realize you're weak and I'm strong. The Lord saw the disciples out on the sea fighting a violent storm, and he waited till the fourth watch of the night to come out to them. You remember the story? Jesus could have come to them at any point in time, but the Bible said he waited till the fourth watch of the night to come out to them. Why did he do that? Why did he wait till seemingly that last moment of time? I'll tell you why. Because they did not need him yet. They did not need him yet. They still had enough strength, they felt. As long as they had strength, they didn't need him. As long as they thought they were handling things, they didn't need him. As long as they thought they had it under control, they didn't need him. But when he came to them, more than likely, had they had still had strength, they would not have received him in the way that he came to him. But by the time Jesus came to them, they come to the realization, we have nothing else we can do. We can only turn to God. We can only turn to Jesus. They would have probably never received him in the way that he came. But when they got desperate, they were open to the will of God. They were open to the purpose of God. God may be wanting to do something so new and fresh in your life. Somebody listen to me this morning. God may be wanting to do something very real and very fresh and new in you, but he can't get it through to you until he gets you in a place where you can't do anything else. So often, God has to get us in a place where we can do nothing else before he can really do what he wants to do in us. Amen? I appreciate the attention to this crowd because your eyes are zeroed right in. I thank God for that. So often God has to get us to a place we can't do anything else before he does his best work in our life. You know why? Because it's not about us anymore. It's all about him. It's all about what only he can do. God is wanting to do something in you he has never done before. And to do that, he's got to bring you into a place that you've never been before. God wants to do something in your life he has never done before, but you got to come into a place where you've never walked or been or lived before. In Exodus 14, 21, New Living Translation, Moses raised his hand over the sea. Listen to this. He raised his hand over the sea. Notice what it said. Moses acted in faith and God moved. Notice it said that Moses raised his hand, not God. Moses stretched out his hand, not God. But when he raised his hand over the sea and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind, the wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. But you know what, David? Moses had to act in faith. He's the one that had to stretch out his hand. God didn't have to do anything in that moment. He had to stretch out his hand in faith. But can I tell you, before Moses could ever stretch out his hand over that water and believe for it to part, for them to cross over, God had to bring him into a place he had never been in before so God could do what he had never done before in him. And I want to tell you, some of you may be standing before your own Red Sea and you don't know what to do, but just let me remind you of this. Maybe God's been working in you, and God's lining things up in you, and God's bringing you to a place like you've never been in before, so you'll see God do something in your life you never dreamed he could do for you. But just hold on to God and keep understanding he is in control. Here's a lesson that can change your life. It's important. Here's a lesson that can change your life. God works the night shift. That sounds a little weird, doesn't it? God's always working. God's always moving. What does that mean to us, Pastor? God works the night. He works when we don't even know it. He works when we don't even understand it. He works when we're not even realizing he's working. But God works the night shift. The greatest miracle of your life may be 1 hour away. Now, here's another lesson that will literally change your life. It always gets the darkest just before the dawn. It always gets the darkest just before the dawn. When they closed their eyes that night, there was a Red Sea in front of them. But in the morning, there was an 8-lane highway walking through it. Hallelujah! Did you hear that? When they went to sleep, there's a Red Sea. But when they woke up, God had opened up a dry path for them to walk through. In Exodus chapter 14, verse number 29, but the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. Let me tell you one of the awesome parts of that passage. It's awesome to think about God parting the waters. It's awesome, Charles, to think about God holding those walls of water back and holding them in place and just standing there witnessing that. But another awesome part about it was when they walked over, they didn't step in one mud hole. Their feet didn't get wet. They walked over on dry ground. I want to tell you something. When God does something, he does it right. He doesn't leave out one detail. He doesn't leave out one thing. God doesn't make mistakes. Not only can God bring you out, hear me, not only can God bring you out, but he will bring you out in such a way, Tim, that you'll never look like what you went through. Isn't that wonderful? Not only will God bring you out, but you won't look like what you've been through. Pastor, you don't understand that. You don't understand the hell I've walked through. I don't mean this loosely, but when you come out, God will make you look like you ain't even been through hell. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Not only will he bring you out, but you won't even look like what was going on. You won't even look like what was happening. You won't even look like what was taking place in your life. You'll have a whole different look. You'll have a whole different appearance about who you are. Amen? The three Hebrew children came out of the fiery furnace without a smell of smoke, without a one hair singed on their head. You remember that? I don't know what you may be facing today, but the Lord has got it all, Eric, under control. I don't know what you may be dealing with this morning, but God has it all under control. What does that tell me, Pastor? It tells me this. Don't worry. Don't complain. Don't fret. Don't get bent out of shape. Don't give up. And I'm going to back up and say it again. If you've been watching the news, don't worry. Don't give up. Don't fret. Don't back up. Just start praising. Start worshiping. Start glorifying. Start magnifying. Start exalting the name of the Lord. Why? He is going to turn it around. I'm talking to some people in this room. God is going to turn it around. Don't accept where you are is the way it's always going to be. Don't accept what's happening in your life. That's the way it's going to be. God is going to turn it around. God has got it in control. There's some enemies you may be fighting right now. I want to tell you this. You'll never fight them again. There's some enemies you may be warring against right now. You'll never war against again. There's some enemies you may be facing right now that you will never face again. Can I tell you this? Stand still and see the salvation of God in your life. Stand to your feet all across this room. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Why? God has it all under control. I wanted to talk to you personally this morning. I wanted to talk to you in the arena of where we're living right now, what's going on around us. It's time for you to move over. I don't want to bust your bubble, but if it does, so be it. It's time for you to move over and let God fight your battle. It's time for you to move over and let God take the lead. You've been in the, I'm talking to somebody, you've been in the driver's seat long enough. You've been leading the way long enough. You've been turning the steering wheel long enough. You've been shifting the gears long enough. It's time for you to move over and let God get in the driver's seat and let God lead the way in your life. God has it all under control. Here's where I give this altar call this morning. God gave it to me right before I walked out of my office. So I'm going to do it exactly the way He said it. I challenge you today to come down to the front of this room and give God complete control over everything. There you go. Come on. I challenge you right now to come down here and give God complete control of everything. I challenge you to put your full trust in the Lord. That's not easy for some folks. It's not easy for some people to give God complete control. It's not easy for some people to put their full trust in God because they got to hold on somewhere. They got to hold tight somewhere. They got to hold on to something somewhere. But under the direction of the Holy Spirit, I challenge you to give God complete control of your life. I challenge you this morning to put your full trust in the Lord. I challenge you to believe everything's going to be all right in the name of Jesus.